Welcome back to Behind the Skies. I'm Josh, and in today's episode, we finally add Chad in, and both of us sit down with producer Versus Beats, who has amassed over 30,000 subscribers on YouTube, and whether he is sampling or crafting all sounds from scratch, makes amazing music. Our conversation today covers when and why Versus started producing, creating music from scratch, and some advice he has for the production community. Without further ado, enjoy the show. Today we're joined with Versus Beats, and Chad is going to be on today's episode.
What's up?
We got a little group action going, but how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Great. Good. Fantastic.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah, it's great to hear.
Sweet. So let's jump right in. We'll go with like a couple introduction questions. Where are you from originally?
Yeah, I'm from a small town in Massachusetts called Shrewsbury, born and raised, and I've been here, my whole life, and I'm going to New York next year for college, and we'll see what happens after
nice.
That.
Nice.
So you're a senior in high school, or about
yeah,
to be a freshman
I just
college.
Graduated.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that makes you 18, 17?
17. I'm about to turn 18 in like 5 days.
Dang. And you already have as much yeah. going for you as you do.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank
That's
you, bro.
That's so cool.
How did you start producing? Like, how did you get into music?
Yeah. Do you want me to start from like the very beginning?
Or yeah, just, like, the roots.
All the way yeah. all the way back.
All right, let's do it. So I'd say like, well, first of all, my family's just been like super supportive. Like when I was 3, I think, my parents put me into piano lessons. And I quit when I was like 8 or 9 or something like that. And then I started saxophone lessons when I was like 9, and I still take saxophone lessons. And they've always paid for those. They've always been super supportive of music and all that. Now, I got into producing when my cousin showed me FL Studio. He lives in California. I just like fell in love with it. He was just showing me how he made beats on FL, and I was like, "What the hell? How do you do this?" Like, and then we also had a music production like little thing in like middle school. Like all these little things, and my mom had like GarageBand on her laptop. Like all these little things that led to like me finding FL Studio and trying to start producing and all that stuff. Yeah,
nice.
That is pretty nice.
Do you still have like your first project yeah. file that you ever exported?
Bro. Yeah, I didn't, bro. I never lost any files. Nothing ever went missing. I have everything.
You have the full archive.
Bro, I was 12 years old. I deadass have, I have beats from when I was 12, and they're absolute shit. But like,
I love bro. Those. They're so fun to yeah. listen to.
They're fun to go back on and just remember what yeah. you made.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I remember using.
What about you guys?
Our start.
Well, I've already yeah. explained mine, but Chad, no one knows how you started. So yeah, let's hear about Chad.
I think ours is similar. Like, I had a friend that like rapped or something, and I was wondering how he recorded his vocals, and then he's like, well, I record in Mixcraft, and then I make my, like, beats in FL Studio, and so at first I downloaded Mixcraft, messed with that, I, like, couldn't make anything in it, and then I switched to FL Studio, and then, or I, like, downloaded a free trial or something, messed with it, fell in love with it, like, stayed up all night making some beat that I called... It was like Blast Off. I think it was called Blast Off. And I used FL Studios. They have like a, not a vocoder, but like a thing that where you type in the text and then it like.
Oh, yeah.
It turns it into like a robotic voice.
That was my old tag.
Yeah.
Really?
So it was like, this is a beat by Chad yeah. Fields. Yeah. And then it's like 3, 2, 1. Blast off, and then it's like the worst drop of all time. It's absolute trash, but it's so funny to listen to.
That's so funny.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
I swear, like, even my first beat is called UFO, and it's like, bro, like 2 minutes of it is like, I took an audio clip from like an astronaut, like fucking like talking to his space people, and like, bro.
Dude,
it's
like,
so whack.
What drugs were our 12-year-old selves taking to come up with the weird
know.
Ideas we came up with? It's so funny.
Bro, it's funny as fuck.
And then your saxophone lessons and all. Like, are you in the school jazz band, or were you?
Yeah. I've been in the band, like, in middle school, all through high school, just super, like, involved with all the music stuff at school. And I went to all the concerts, all, like, the little, like, gala and all those little, like, rich people events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool, though.
Do you find that, like, your actual, like, classical, not classical, but, like, real musical training, like, helps you a lot in the production area?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Because, like, a lot of it is, like, not necessarily, like, I can explain what I'm even doing. Like, I just can kind of feel things that someone who just picked it up from the start wouldn't be able to feel. It's more like my ears are, like, more trained than someone who's just picking it up, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you think it's more so the ear training that you've had is more beneficial than actually being able to read music and all that.
Yeah.
And know music theory.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. I think so.
Can you also read music and all that? Or is it mostly just...
Yeah, I can do all that. All that's, like, super helpful for, like, understanding what is going on. But to understand, like, the feeling of something is completely different to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So, I mean, and most of your music, I guess it's kind of like what today's episode will be about, but most of your music is created without samples, so everything's kind of from scratch. Do you find that to be, I guess, more fulfilling than using samples?
Yeah, I talk about this a lot. Like, I just like the idea of, like, looking at a product that you made and then just, like, being like, everything in that beat was mine. Like, even when you're... Bro, the better thing is when you design all the sounds, like, all the kicks and all... Wait, one sec. Can you see me?
Yeah, you're good.
When you design all the kicks and all the sounds and you record everything, that is wild. That's a completely different feeling.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Bro, I saw your new beat. Like, how do you make these from scratch? Like, what the heck?
Chad did a lot, or almost all that one. I did the drums.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Bro, the sound design is wild on that. I don't even get it.
That was like...
I don't even get it.
All the time went into production on that one. I made the music in like 2 seconds, and then the rest of it was sound design.
That's wild.
We posted the beat at 3, and we finished it at 2:40.
Yeah, oh,
it was kind of close.
We were trying as hard as we could to grind it out.
Yeah,
that's good though. You guys have a schedule like pretty strict.
We're trying to get it strict because before the schedule is just work whenever, and then it was kind of just like work all the time, take random breaks that then like have us staying up all night because we're trying to catch up. It was bad.
Yeah, that's pretty much what mine is.
this week we're actually putting it into play. I mean, we've been sticking to it pretty well.
We've been
aside from a couple hours off here and there, but it does help to know when things are supposed to happen. It creates a lot more stress-free environment.
Right.
Yeah,
that's really good.
When do you usually like work on your music? Are you like a night producer, day? I know everyone's different.
I feel like everybody's a night producer, but I'm like the most morning producer ever. Like, I love to just like wake up and like hear something, like hear someone's beat or hear someone's song or something like that, and then just go to the studio and just like work on something like for like 3 hours and skip breakfast and all that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. No, I just love that feeling.
I'm way more than anything. I like the daytime as well.
Really? Yeah.
Many breakfasts have been skipped.
Yeah.
if you open up your doll like first thing in the morning, yeah, you just forget about eating.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I love that though.
Same thing at
but
night.
There's some days where I just go to like 2 a.m. like serenaded by my own music. So, like, but it's really depending on the day.
Do you like listening to your own music after you've made it?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes I hate it like the next day, but then sometimes I like even love it more and I like work on it more. It really depends. But I don't go in the car and like listen to my own music.
Like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. After we made the Pure track, I never want to hear it again.
Oh, most of our tracks, I never want to hear again. I'll listen to them like the day we put them out. And then,
just because we have to.
Yeah, the day after, I'll listen to something else.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah.
I do like though. Like going back years later, like or months later.
Oh yeah.
Going back on the tracks you made and just hearing the stuff, it's kind of like it is. It does bring a smile.
It'll bring you back to a certain time period. I'll get like nostalgia. Yeah. Like I remember what I was going through when I made this one.
Yeah, that's actually very true. Like I feel like. Bro, I have this one beat with like 2 million views and I've heard like so many artists on that beat and I'm so sick of it. Like people like it, but I just hate it so much.
Yeah. Cause I've heard it so much.
Your most popular tracks can be the ones that you just hate the most. Cause you're like, why don't you like my new stuff? I put time into that too.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You get 40 emails with the exact same song, the exact same track. It's
exactly.
It does get tiring.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you have tracks that that didn't get a lot of views, but you're like, this is my baby. I love this track.
Hell yeah! Like, bro, that's all of them almost. Like the ones that get the ones that get the least views are the best ones.
Yeah.
Like 90% of the time.
Well, a lot of your recent tracks, you did like a whole. I mean, I don't know if anyone's aware, but the whole series with Kanye, where you recreated the track from each of his albums.
Right.
Some of those are like, I don't know if you've listened to any of them, but those beats are musically, they're pretty insane. And then watching you make them is pretty cool too.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Thank you so much, bro. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, those are. I've definitely listened to those in the morning while I'm answering emails and stuff like that, just letting them play.
I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah.
What's your ideal future with music? Like, I know you're about to go off to college and all, so that's going to be taking up, like, quite a bit of time, I'm sure. Like, what are you, like, really hoping for in the next, I don't know, like, during college and then after college? Or is there even a chance you won't go to college?
Yeah, I was talking to my parents about that, and now they're actually cool with me not, like, going 1 year and, like, dropping out. Like, they don't really care that much. But I don't know. I guess, like, goals, I don't even have, like, goals of working with, like, artists or, like, getting to a certain number of followers or, like, anything like that. Like, one of my friends, Aaron... Me and him had this idea where, like, we get, like, a studio kind of thing, but, like, 4 or 5 producers live there, and, like, it's just, like, artists come through, and, like, you just make music all day. I think that would just be so dope.
Yeah, that would be like, cool.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, Brockhampton's setup?
Yeah, I love them.
Like, a little bit of inspiration from them?
I kind of know, you know their producer, Romil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've, we're like low-key kind of friends.
Really?
Yeah, because we've been like sending each other like Bollywood flips of Bollywood flip beats, like Indian sampled beats, and it's actually mad fun. Like,
that's tight.
I love those.
Did you know him before you started producing heavily? Oh, you met him through connections, basically.
Yeah, he just followed me one day. It was just, like, cool.
Yeah. They're a talented group.
Like, yeah, no, yeah, they're pretty cool.
And quality-wise, too, their stuff sounds really cool.
Hell yeah. And it's super unique, too. Like,
yeah, nothing sounds the same. Like yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
For sure.
If you could collaborate with any artist, any producer, who would you want as a vocalist on your track, and then who would you want to collaborate with as a producer?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, for sure, Kanye. He's like my favorite artist.
That'd be awesome.
Who is a producer? I'd say like, I mean, more so than just collaborating, I just want to like get to know Madlib. I just feel like he's super mysterious and just like his workflow. He made like 2,000 beats in 1 year once, like,
Jesus
I don't get how he does it. Like,
I don't know how
I just think he's so sick.
Yeah.
That's a lot of splice credits.
What about you guys?
You go first.
Oh, I actually like a lot of, like, alternative type music. I've got, my inspiration. I don't know. I really liked 2 years ago or last year, Arcade Fire. It's like a band, I like the Lumineers. Those two artists would be really, really cool to work with. I'm not sure how I would blend like the sounds that we're making with what they're doing, but that would be like super, super.
No, I could definitely see that. Like, and then your sound is kind of like them, yeah.
AJR, I really respect their productions. You can just tell they put like a ton of heart and soul into their productions. They're just like really, really unique. They play a ton of instruments. Like, they're really talented musicians. And yeah, I like live recorded music a lot.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think mine currently. I've been on this kick for like the last year or two artists, but I don't know if you know Jeremy Zucker.
I don't know.
More kind of alternative music, really like slow, chill, simplistic music. But I just think he's super talented. He's got a super unique voice and his aesthetic. I just think everything about it would be fun. He seems like a cool guy. And then the other one would be John Bellion. I think that would be like, nice. I've seen his, like, he has a bunch of behind the scenes videos and I see how he works and how he makes his music. And it just seems like a blast to be there. And just, even if you're adding one thing or nothing, just to hang out and, you know, do a bunch of music.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, Charlie Puth seems like, I'd like to collaborate with him too.
He's super talented.
And he could tune all my instruments and all. It would be way easier.
Hell yeah. I got to check out some of those artists. I don't think I've heard of a couple of those, but yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting me on.
Yeah, Spotify. I mean, you have Spotify. I'll just kind of like put on one of my playlists, and then when you finish the playlist, they just send you to a bunch of different artists, and I'll find so many other people.
Yeah, I've just randomly discovered stuff all the time on there.
Yeah. It's definitely a fun thing to look through. So, you just released a Mirage pack that I have had. It was really good pack. Do you prefer making samples, beats? How do you kind of go about that? Which one's more enjoyable?
Yeah, I mean, they all kind of go hand in hand just because, like, I like both, honestly. Like, I just kind of get bored of like one thing and I like to go to another. Like, I don't like just making samples. I know there's people that just make samples. I know there's people that just make beats, but like spending like 3 hours on just the melody of a song is like crazy. Like, you think of so many more like crazy ideas, and like, I don't know. I just feel like it's two completely different experiences some of the time. But yeah. But do you guys make samples?
Well,
we're like starting to do that. We're gonna we recently released a drum pack, and then we're gonna release some like instrumental melody packs, but they're gonna all be like inspired by or like using parts of tracks that we have released in order, and we're gonna make like loops out of them and compile them. And then you'll be able to, like, for, like, a significantly cheaper price than buying all the tracks, like, you can get, like, the different stems and stuff.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, I really like that idea,
actually. And I think it would be so cool to, like, just put them out there and hear other producers' takes on them. Like, I think that would be the most fun part of it, is listening to how other producers flip it and the vibes they make for
Hell yeah. Bro, like, there are some people who use the samples in, like, completely new ways, like... They'll chop it up and they'll literally make like a completely new melody out of it. And it's like, it blows your mind when you actually see it. Like, it's wild.
It is pretty sick. And you're on the Rucker Collective, right? That little roster for the drum. How does that work?
Yeah. So, the Drum Broker like hosts only like a handful of like creatives, and like, so they work with Ill Mind and like Alchemist and like some really big names. And Rucker Collective, just one of those. It's just like, I think 6 of us producers. And we just like just occasionally release sample packs, stuff like that. And the Drum Broker is just cool with us. So they take a split, and the person that runs the Rucker Collective takes a split. But they offer like so many more connections and just a lot more guidance and stuff like that.
Yeah, do you notice it like gets being on the Drum Broker, it gets to more people, you think?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, some pretty big producers like Cardiac. I don't know if you know Cardiac. There's this dude, Jay Black, I think that's his name.
I've heard of him. He's on Instagram. I think I follow him on Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, he makes those, like, NPC videos that are sick.
Yeah, he's got the big NPC and he's only...
Yeah, just a lot more connections.
What would your advice be to somebody who, like, they don't even have FL Studio yet? Like, they're about to get it. Like, how do they get started? And making, like, I don't know, your type of music.
Honestly, like, I don't think you should rush it, but, like, I see a lot of these tutorials, like, internet money and stuff like that, like, and I don't hate it, but, like, I feel like it's kind of discouraging in a way when you just see, like, these producers who are actually successful, but they're just, like, kind of doing the same things every video. I think you should just, like, experiment and just, like... Like, I think there's a reason why our first beats are so weird and, like, it sounds like we're all drugged out and stuff. Yeah. Just because, like, we don't know what we're doing. Like, if you, like, put your headspace in, like, this rigid formula kind of thing, it kind of ruins the fun of it, in my opinion.
I agree.
But, yeah, just keep experimenting, keep finding new things, keep, like... going to FL Studio or whatever you use every day and keep working. Yeah.
Just make up random stuff, whatever comes to your head.
Yeah.
When you make a song, are you like listening to another song and are like, I want to make something similar to this? Or do you sit down and you just start making stuff?
Yeah, there's some days where it really depends on the day for me. Like some days, cause, I get bored a lot, so, like, I picked up the flute, I picked up the guitar, I picked up, like, I just bought, like, bongos the other day. Like, if nice. I hear something, like, I'll just be fiddling around on something most of the time, and that'll inspire me, like, on keys or something like that. Other days, I'll listen to one of your guys' beats or, like, someone else's beats or someone's song, and I'll just be like, I like that little thing, and I'll kind of recreate that one thing, but then I'll do my... own thing for the rest of the song.
Yeah.
But it depends. What about you guys?
Like we have done some, like we did that like unreleased track Pure by Mac Miller.
Yeah. That
and
was
like
tight.
And like we definitely just like listened to something and then tried to recreate it and add our own spin on it. But then
We did a good job because people thought that we just stole the original beat.
Yeah, we got a bunch of comments like, oh, you guys are a bunch of liars. Like, no. Why would you say that this is no samples? Obviously, you ripped it from...
I was sitting at home and Chad calls me one night. He's like, dude, have you read the comments on the video? I'm like, no. He's like, we got to post the behind the scenes. Like,
yeah,
now.
Nobody believes
we
made this.
Yeah, people thought we stole the beat.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm not doing that... I will just open up instruments on FL Studio, just play with things until I get like a little melody or something, and I'm like, ooh, like this is nice. And then I also have like 100,000 voice memos of like different ideas that pop into my head. Like I'll like wake up in the morning and I'm like half asleep, half awake, like.
That's exactly what I do. Bro, some of those Kanye videos, it just starts with me, like, at 2 a.m., and I'm just in my bed, and I'm recording some, like, chord progression idea on my phone. The next day, I'll just, like, bro, I love that, though. Voice memos are so clutch. How did people live without those, like, 30 years ago?
Like, if you had an idea, like, do you, like, write down the notes on, like, a piece of, like, on a staff sheet or whatever?
I had to put it on tape back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
50 years ago. 100 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know how.
I don't know.
You'd have to be able to read music, I guess, and just literally transcribe it.
It is so cool how far music and technology's come. Like, I feel like I take it for granted.
Yeah.
Like getting frustrated. Yeah. It's like earlier where we had to bounce out our stems in Edison because we had like it wouldn't bounce out correctly, and it's like I can't imagine how they had to do it 30 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. It's no, wild. The technology is getting better and better, and like plugins are getting smart. I now have a folder called Smart Plugins, and they really do like they help you out. Like I have like a I have an AI EQ and an AI compression, and they don't always hit the mark, but like I like to test them out, and then sometimes they work, and you just dial in like how much of that you want, and it saves you like a decent amount of time on like using like ProQ or something and having to pencil it in.
Yeah, I did. Sure. I put Ozone Imager or their Ozone. Yeah, 8.
Yeah, Ozone.
I would do an auto master on every track.
Yeah.
For like their first 2 years of making music.
How do you feel about AI plugins? Do you think that it takes the if everyone could if they got really good and you don't even need to do anything anymore, you just put them on there and it sounds good. Do you think that's bad?
I don't know. Like I've been actually thinking about that a lot. Like, I feel like I would hate it if, like an AI generated song beat mine on the billboards.
Yeah.
And then like, bro, like what? I don't. What do you guys think about that? I'm curious.
I don't know.
As far as I don't think we're there yet. As far as what the plugins can do for your like auto mixing and auto mastering, if you really get like a real engineer in there doing their thing, it's gonna come out better than any like auto type plugin. But yeah, does scare me?
Yeah, I think the same would apply for melodies too. I mean, people always talk about auto like keyboard and. Just things that would make the whole entire beat for you.
The human side of things is, I feel like, what creates emotion. But if AI gets to the point where it can, it can create the like human feel better than humans, as weird as that sounds, then
we're in trouble.
Yeah, then you're in trouble, and I'm not really sure what you do at that point.
We're gonna be out of a job.
then we don't have work.
Oh, yeah, man. Will we be like the old heads? Like back in my day, we had to, play the notes.
Yeah,
we used to actually make some music.
We had to sing our songs. We didn't just use a voice plugin.
Oh yeah, there's like a K-pop artist.
I've seen that.
What?
That like literally everything
nuts,
is just AI.
And it sounds like a real voice. It's wild. It
sounds like a girl.
I don't know what I don't know what it's called, but if you're listening to this podcast, look that up.
Yeah, it's drop crazy. It down below. But they do. I have, I've seen it on advertisements on Instagram. But they also have a microphone along with the VST where you hum
Stoic
the melodies.
Stoic has that. Yeah. I think Stoic has it. Yeah.
I think he does too. You hum the melodies and it'll create.
Oh, it creates the
it'll
fills in
the
piano
notes.
Roll.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna get that.
That'd be sick. Imagine just sitting
there. That's cool. I think I've seen people do that with, they have a guitar. They plug in their guitar. They have that sort of software on it. And then their guitar acts as a trigger for a synthesizer. So they can play a synth on their guitar if you don't know how to play keys.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
It's
that's
pretty cool.
Wild.
See, that's stuff cool.
I kind of want
still,
that.
You're still like creating. You're still having that human feel. But if you can't play the keys, you just grab your guitar.
Yeah. No,
which is cool.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything wrong with not having, well, I'm saying that because I have no idea of what I'm doing musically. Like, I can't read any music at all. I have no idea what chords I'm playing. I don't even know the names of all the, I have to like, A,
hey,
B, C,
D, E, F.
Yeah,
I gotta count.
Yeah, to figure out which note I'm on. But like, I don't know if it feels right. It feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think his verses, I didn't know about music theory on the piano till I texted him. I was like, dude, I can't make shit on the piano. And he was like, just watch some music theory. And that's when I started. I finally learned the notes. Now I know the notes. But
probably better than me.
It's still a long way to go. Even with guitar, though,
I think music's just like more so about, as you said, music's way more so about just the feeling of what you're playing versus like versus the actual notes you're playing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
If it creates an emotion, like, music has done its job. It doesn't even matter what the emotion is. If it makes people sad, happy, angry, whatever the emotion, if it makes them feel something, it's a good song.
Yeah, like trap music, I think, also has emotion.
Makes
it
me
makes,
feel turnt.
It makes me want to go crazy. and that's cool. I think that's so cool how music can do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty,
for sure.
Pretty wild.
No, it's a powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah. So I just hope that...
Oh, hold up. This, my camera's stopped. There we go.
You're good.
Wait, what are some of your guys' like goals in the future?
You want to go first or me too?
I have a goal unrelated to this.
Right, I'll go first and I'll go.
You can go.
Well, we talk about this all the time. I think the ultimate goal is to just, kind of like similar to what you said, work with artists. I think the fun part about music is like collaboration and human connection. Like up until we started working together a couple months ago, it was kind of like day in and day out, like, I don't know, it's more fun when you get to call each other back and forth, you're adding things, you're both listening to it, you get second ears, but I think ultimately I want to get to a point where like it's like you go to the studio, you're working with an artist for a couple weeks, you really dial in everything, and then you get to hear like a full finished product with the vocalist, the beat's done, and it just goes out to the world and you're just done with that. That would be super cool to do that just a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then for me... Like, I totally share that same goal. I would, like, being able to, because there's so many musicians that are, like, better at other things that I'm not so good at. And to be able to, like, bring together different musicians, artists, and create these, like, mega projects where you just have, like, there's so much cool stuff going on that only, like, each individual could put on a track. Like, you on saxophone or something. I think that's super, super cool. But also, like, as a kid, ever since I was, like, 7 years old, I've always wanted to be in a band. Like, I just want to be in a band so bad. But I never could find anybody to play with. And I still don't have anyone to play with. But I would love to, like, create this is, like, way down the road, but some band and, like, have like a collaborative effort. It's kind of similar to what you were talking about, like, having a bunch of people in the house and you're all working on music and... artists are coming in and out. I think that would be so cool to have a group of people like dedicated to one particular project and you just try to make like the most killer album you possibly could using everybody's talents.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we did when we did the beat for the COVID-19 charity
one. Yeah,
there was like 11 of us on that and we all added one specific sound and it came out pretty cool. It was fun.
The car hi-hats.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I need to make these hi-hats look cool. I got the job on the hi-hats. So adding hi-hats is not
you
too
added
hard.
The hi-hats?
That was my job.
I thought you, like, mixed it or something.
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah. But it is cool to collaborate.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's more fun. And, I mean, even what we talked about, it's like, when we were younger, we used to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like now when we get on a phone call and we're working on music, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's like COD, except nobody's insulting each other's mothers or...
Yeah.
Well, usually...
Sometimes we get there. Yeah.
I feel that. I guess one of my other goals, I mean, like, this is way down the line. Like, I've always liked teaching, like, teaching kids especially. I don't know why. I just do. But
I've done the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to, like, I want to have, like, a school, kind of like a music school, but, like, just to, when I have enough money, just to, like, make it free for, like, kids who are, like, underprivileged to, like, be able to learn music production without having to buy everything and all that stuff, because everything's just super expensive. But, yeah, that's way down the line. I'm not sure.
No, that'd be really, really cool, though. That's such a cool idea. I really respect that. Because there is a big, barrier to making really high-quality music. Because if you're using... I mean, you can make some really cool stuff using all stock plugins, all stock sounds. But, it takes a lot more effort than when you're using better stuff. Like, you can't make something crazy high-quality in GarageBand.
Yeah.
Right.
You can make something decent, but to your point, it's never going to be top tier.
You're never going to become a producer and be able to make a living from it if that's like all you can afford for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. So what is your, do you have like a set of plugins or a specific plugin that you love to use on every track that you can't work without?
I mean, I use like... what I have, I got Omnisphere when I like just started out. So like, I mean, not just started out, like probably 3 years into producing, but like, I use that on almost everything. And some of my other go-tos are like Trillion for bass lines and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Use the upright bass for Trillion's upright bass. It sounds nice, right?
Nice.
I like that.
It's nice. other than that, wait, what else do I use? I mean, I use like little bits and pieces from like Splice and stuff like, and like drum kits, stuff like that. But other than that, it's mostly live.
Yeah. And then are you using for like your EQing, compression and all, are you just using FL Studio stock stuff?
Yeah.
Parametric EQ 2, I think is.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Logic.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Nothing. I don't. Yeah, I don't. People claim you can hear the differences in the EQs. I think there's like workflow differences. Like I do like the like graphical interface and like and all of Pro Q, and I find that soloing, like you can solo your bands, that's kind of useful. But other than that, like your stock plugins are gonna do, like an EQ is an EQ.
And I think some have more, like to your point, fine-tuned features. Like Pro Q compared to like Logic stock, you're gonna see a lot more.
Yeah, you can do a couple more things. You can edit, like you can do cuts on just the left channel or the right channel or mid and side, but.
But they are pretty much all the same. Even compressors, I think too. Some. There's definitely a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I can hardly tell the difference between compressors, like the really high-end ones and the really low-end ones. They're all like pretty similar.
Yeah, like if you do like really heavy compression, sometimes like the lower-end ones can create like artifacts, or they won't have as a fast of an attack and release. So you won't be able to like, if let's say you're side-chaining a kick or something, it won't like duck as quickly or come back as quickly as you're wanting, and then you'll get like more pumping. But yeah, for the most part, for like your basic compression stuff, like everyone, if you own a DAW, you have the tools.
Yeah. How about you?
They all come with the good enough stock plugins.
I really like FabFilter's stuff. I think that's, it's like super, super like clean looking. It just, I don't know. They have like a really, really simple interface for all their plugins. Pro Q and Pro L, I probably use the most. Pro L, like for mixing and mastering, because you can just make things like super loud without it like distorting or making artifacts. And then for instruments, I use like a lot of contact stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, you got
me hooked on. And then if you're creating any synths or anything.
You got me hooked on Pro Q. I didn't really, or FabFilter in general, but I didn't really use too much of it until we started working together more. And then I think I love Valhalla Vintage. I just love putting it on the
It
top.
Has a nice color
it
to it.
And it's super simple. It's just got a couple knobs, and you can get a nice sound really quick. And then one I just got recently was Guitar Rig. Even though Chad will do most of the music stuff, like melodies and all that, and I'll do drums and arrangement, but I'll just practice guitar and piano every day. So just being able to plug the guitar into the interface,
Guitar Rig is sweet.
Throw on Guitar Rig, you can get some sick things just to mess around with.
I love that.
It's beautiful. Yeah, so. Bro, and like super underrated tip, like putting Guitar Rig on like snares and like vocals stuff. Bro.
Yeah.
I've never even
thought about that. It sounds crazy.
I used to use Guitar Rig for all my vocal stuff. Like I used it primarily for vocals.
You used it on Desert Red, right? You played a guitar for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I use Guitar Rig pretty much every time I'm using bass, or I'm like recording bass or guitar, I'm running it through Guitar Rig. And then, you can like run anything through a amplifier and make it sound like pretty cool.
Yeah. So do you have like, I guess, aside from music, do you have any tips for like producers who are trying? Because I know everyone's growth is different in the way they grow, but tips for getting music out there, connecting with people, and just growing a channel in general?
I mean, I think like number one is just like not to take it too seriously. Like, don't be hard on yourself if your beat's whack. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like part of the, like, almost 99% of the fun is just trying new things and learning stuff on the fly, as opposed to like looking at a tutorial and like learning this one little thing. But aside from music, I think just managing your time between stuff is just like super important. I used to spend a lot more time on like Instagram and TikTok and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but now, I mean, I still waste a lot of time, but it's not as bad. Like,
you're getting there.
Yeah, I don't even play video games anymore. Like, I used to be heavy into COD and like 2K and stuff. Yeah, but I think just prioritizing what you think is most valuable in the long term is really important.
And still find that balance of life. Cause
yeah.
It's like if you spend your whole day, cause that's like kind of what that's why we made our schedules. Cause we were like found ourselves kind of like, we were kind of skipping a lot of things that we might have wanted to do when we didn't have any free time. So it's kind of like, to your point, making a prioritized schedule and knowing when you're gonna get things done allows you to just also have like a work-life balance. Which,
yeah,
for some people they don't need that, but for me, I think it's very important.
Yeah, I love like hiking and like exploring new places. Like I've just been recently like, every day at like 6 or 7 o'clock, my dad likes it too. So like me, my dad, and like sometimes my brother, we just like go out to some random new place and we just explore. But yeah, I feel like if you manage your time so that you can spend most of your day on music or whatever you do, and then have that little time where you're not playing video games and put that into like going out or doing something else you love, like cooking or something else like that. That's just a really healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. And then I find that if I just make music, I lose inspiration because your inspiration source is like your life. And if your life is music, then you're not going to get like inspired to make music from making music. But like, I feel like life, the things that you do in life is like the fuel for your creative energy, where you want to like express your adventure you went on through music.
Yeah, that was the perfect sentence.
And taking a break.
Sometimes
it's just necessary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going on some crazy adventure.
I think. What was I gonna say? Yeah, I think listening to music is just super important. Sometimes I feel like if I'm in the studio the entire day, like I don't feel like listening to more music after that. Like, you know what I mean? But waking up and listen to like Michael Jackson while you're showering is like a vibe, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Michael Bublé guy. I swear to God, I listen to Michael Bublé so much.
He is good. He's really good.
Him and John.
His voice is, it's golden.
It's so unique too.
Yeah, it's crisp.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Michael Bublé, if you're watching this, you would love to do a track.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's gonna be harder to get him on your track, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I have anything else, unless you have any other tips or advice or want to talk about anything else. But.
Oh, I think we had a good conversation.
I would agree.
Oh, yeah. No, I really enjoyed this. It was really nice meeting you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it was,
of course.
A couple laughs, a couple words of advice. I think all around.
Yeah.
Good episode 3.
Great episode.
Sweet, man. Well, thank you for joining. And,
thanks for having me, bro.
I will leave all of Versus' links down in the description. So if anyone wants to go show him some love and listen to his music and watch how he makes his beats, you can do that as well.